You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, Joey Coffin of the Dispatch going to join us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Joey, thanks for taking the time. Look, I mean, we've had to do this for 45 minutes or so, and so let's go to the next big Ohio thing that's coming in terms of the spring game. I understand that obviously at this point there's no reason for Ohio State to make any decision on that, but as this is starting to as we inch closer, I'm sure contingency plans are being made. What's the latest you're hearing on it?
So the latest, well, thanks for having me on, guys. The latest we heard yesterday was there were really no plans. They were monitoring the situation. They haven't made a decision. But the contingency would be to do something like what we've seen down the road at Cincinnati. Cincinnati announced last night that they were canceling their version of the spring game. So what I imagine what you could have happened was you would just close the spring game, the fans, which is something you do see at other schools across the country that maybe don't do a spring game. You've seen schools just generally move away from that. So you could very easily see Ohio State just close up shop and not have it open to fans. So I'm sure they would not like to do that. They bring 60, 70,000 people out every April, but that's something they're aware that could happen.
And Joey, I mean, from a football standpoint, you know this, it's you're not getting your best work in the actual game. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting your actual work in the scrimmages and stuff, but it's a celebration with the fans. I want to go a different route. Nebraska yesterday announces that they're doing a program with Open Doors to basically help provide brand building for every student athlete. Is there any word at Ohio State whether they would follow suit? Because if you think if Nebraska can build brands, my goodness, with the future of, you know, basically name, image, and likeness up in the air and ever-changing, you have to think Ohio State is in a beautiful position to help its student athletes kind of build their brands as well.
Well, I think they've already done some similar stuff that I know Nebraska came out yesterday and kind of put the flag in the ground and claimed the turf as being the first school to really do this. But it seemed like a couple of years ago, Ohio State was making a push with something called Brand U, and they have a pretty beefed up social media department and really trying to enhance their players' online portfolio. So, I mean, this is something that it seems like Ohio State already does in terms of promoting their players and creating online presence for them. But I think you're going to see this certainly become kind of a new recruiting war, if you will. Come to this school and we'll do more to enhance your social media brands and then online brands, and maybe that helps players get sponsored content on their Instagram feeds. But I think you're certainly going to see it in schools like Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, where they have these intense local fan bases and national fan bases as well.
Let's talk a little football, buddy, because frankly, I need it. Running back pretty thin, buddy. This is DEFCON 1 at this point with the injury to Master Teague, and we've talked about it a little bit on the program here. And there's the cavalry isn't coming over the hill. There's not Zeke Elliott isn't enrolling this fall. So how will Ryan Day combat this once we get to fall? What's the threat level here on this?
I think it's substantial. I mean, you don't have a ton of depth to turn to. Anytime you hear about, well, they're using a walk-on to get reps at running back in spring practice, that's not something that you see as an encouraging sign for the team. I think largely, even before Master T went down and then losing J.K. Dobbins, I thought there was a very good chance that this could ultimately resemble more of a 2018 Ohio State football team where their run-pass split was closer to 50-50. They threw as much as they ran in 2018 with Dwayne Haskins. And bringing Justin Fields back for his junior season with all the receiver talent, it seemed like that was going to be a natural way they were going to go. Well, with all these injuries at running back, even if they get Master T back and Marcus Crawley back and the freshman Mayan Williams comes in and impresses, I think there's still a very good chance you see Ryan Day tweak things and they become a lot more pass heavy and look more like 2018 than 2019, where they had J.K. Dobbins running the ball and then they ran the ball about 60% of the time.
Joey, I want to talk about the guys who really two that stood out to me from the strength and conditioning staff's most improved players, you know, during their winter conditioning. And I think one of them is wide receiver Cameron Babb, who's dealt with injuries, but with four, you know, top 100 wide receivers coming in, he gets forgotten about. Then also Javonte Jean-Baptiste, he's a guy that is on the DN, obviously a rotational guy the last few years, but has the potential to kind of step up big time with Chase Young now being gone. What do you make about those two players? Am I looking too much into the fact that they had great winners, or is it something that we need to pay attention to this spring?
I would pay attention to Jean-Baptiste especially because you're right, as you mentioned, there's a big opening for somebody like him to get on the field. You lose Chase Young and the way they can rotate guys at defensive end on the defensive line like a hockey line, you could easily see someone like him stepping up and plugging into a much bigger role. But especially that's a position where defensive line, defensive end, it is, when you start packing the pounds and you start adding good weight over the years, that's something where we've seen guys on the defensive line blossom later in their careers, just like last year, the season Devon Hamilton had more on the interior of the defensive line, have a season the way he had. So that's something I would keep my eyes on, certainly, and the way he could maybe factor in more of the rotation. And then they're certainly going to have to replace Chase Young by committee this year in terms of the way they rotate guys.
Joey, I was thinking about, we talked about this with Justin last week, James and I were, and I don't know that we've had a quarterback that was of this level of national celebrity and expectation going into a season, probably since Schleister. And I say that, and the caveat to that is the NFL loves him too. We've had a lot of quarterbacks who are Heisman front runners going into a season. We've had a lot of them that have been known, certainly in college football circles. But I was at the Combine a couple of weeks ago, and the NFL is very aware of Justin Fields. And he's probably going to be the second pick in the draft behind Lawrence. And that's the way the NFL views him. We haven't had one like that for a very long time from the NFL to have both the love in the college game and in the NFL in terms of them can't wait for them to get to the National Football League. As you've covered him this year and you think about what's headed for him in terms of a bigger load, obviously throwing it a lot more, what is it that makes him so special, not just as a player but as a person, that leads to this universal feeling that he's basically a sure thing in terms of transitioning to the NFL?
Well, I think the thing that helps him is he doesn't seem to really get rattled, and which is what you like out of quarterbacks at pro or college. I mean, remember the Michigan game, he comes back on the field after the injury. It's a pretty wild scene. He throws that touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson on one leg. You like that about him. But I think the thing that will make him, and you mentioned he'll likely be the number two quarterback drafted out of Trevor Lawrence, but I think over the next year we'll see some talk about whether he could really contend with Trevor Lawrence. That number one pick is because what he can do with extending plays outside the pocket, and that seems to be the trend in the NFL, what you want out of your quarterback, somebody who can, like Pat Mahomes, who can kind of flee outside the pocket and buy time and be creative and make plays. That's really, I think, the thing that makes him special, is he can thrive in some chaotic environments and look downfield and keep his head up and be composed. And so it's, I think, really a mix of those things, is athleticism and just being able to kind of keep his head in the swivel.
Yeah, you're right on that. I mean, there's a chance, a lot of buzz around him for that number one overall as well. Who knows what happens in a year, but it's certainly heading that way. Appreciate your time, my friend Joey Coppin of the Dispatch, joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thanks for your time, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was fun to talk football.